looking at your Bibles tonight. I didn't see any visitors. I don't think we got any first-time visitors, but we skipped that. Look at Psalm 142 tonight in your Bible. Psalm 142, how to overcome discouragement. You know, Christmas time is a wonderful time. Lots of people, they get all excited and they go out and they buy gifts and they work hard and they put up lights and Christmas trees and they anticipate and anticipate, and then the moment comes. And the next thing you know, it's over. Then it's the first of the year. And the next thing you know, the bills come in. And you get discouraged. Well, the Bible is full of people who got discouraged. And so tonight, if you're discouraged, well, God bless you. You'll get something out of this message. If you're not discouraged, the devil will make sure you get discouraged tomorrow. Nana and I met tonight over at the Chick-fil-A place. Lisa was there. We saw her. But we didn't know that it was full of kids. It was some kind of school, fundraiser for the school, that's right. I hadn't been to school too long, you know. But there was a million people in there, and I'm just exaggerating that, but it was full. There wasn't a table anywhere, people everywhere, and yeah. And you know, old people don't like that. I'm talking about myself. But anyway, I said, the devil is just trying to discourage me. I got a message on discouragement, and he wants me to be discouraged so that I can come in here and tell you how to get out of it. But I go back to that verse that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So I made it through all the kids, and the mamas, they were almost as bad as the kids were. But guess what? Here we are. So let's pray, and we'll bring you a message tonight on how to overcome discouragement out of Psalm 142 and other places. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, when we do get discouraged, Lord, we can read how other people who got discouraged got out of it. So Lord, we need to be attentive to the Word of God. We need to have our eyes open, our ears open, and our mouth open to tell the wonderful story of how Jesus saved our soul. And He could save theirs too. Speak to every heart here now, Lord, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, David, it says here, he says, I cried, this is a Psalm of David, I cried unto the Lord. He prayed. He was praying. That's one way you can start getting out. He said a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. A supplication is just another word for prayer with emphasis on what you're praying about. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. I bet if I raised hands one night, and everybody's got some kind of trouble. Sure we do. The devil's going to make sure of that. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privately laid a snare for me. You know, the devil wants to trip you up. I was backing up a while ago. And I backed right into a tree. Said, boom! I got out and I said, well, you stupid, you didn't even see that tree. But then God reminded me, I've got a trailer hitch on the back of my car. And all it did was punch the tree. You thought I wrecked my car, but I didn't. See? It's God's grace takes care of everything. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutions, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. That righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. See, when he had trouble in verse 1, he trusted in verse 5. That's what you do. When you're in trouble, you trust. He had a condition in verse 2, and he had confidence in verse 5. Where is your confidence tonight? When you get in trouble, where's that confidence? It's in the Word of God. It's in the things that you have been through so that you can remind yourself, I was in a jam not long ago and God delivered me and He'll deliver me again. We'll see that with Paul later on. He had desertion in verse 3 and deliverance in verse 6. When nobody else is around, you can depend on Jesus to be there to take care of you. Well, nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat some worms. That's what they used to say in school. He had a complaint in verse 4 and a consolation down in verse 7. Dejection in verse 4 and a delight at the end in verse 7. So actually, we need to think about Psalm 46:1. The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What does trouble really mean? Anguish. Some people get sick on their stomach when they get in trouble. When they get down. I'm so sick I can't even think of what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's always discouragement, but there's always encouragement. Now, which one would you rather be, discouraged or encouraged? That's why we need to read our Bible. I'm going to talk about three people here in just a second. Number one is Moses. You know, Moses got discouraged because of the heavy load he had to carry. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. You know, Moses was the leader. And when the leader sees all that's going on, he gets discouraged, displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? So he asked some questions. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Now, I pastored my church for 32 years. I know about the burden of the pastor. Wasn't this big, but it's about that big. And it only takes one person to discourage you. You know that? Probably the sorriest I ever was when Sunday night comes and you're tired and you've been out all week and visiting, knocking on doors, and all of a sudden, it's quiet, and it's Sunday, it's over, and you say, I'm going to go home now. And then you look up, and here comes one of your deacons through the door. Preacher, there's a family outside wants to talk to you. You know they're out of gas. You know they haven't got any money. You know they're hungry. They need a place to stay. Moses, same thing. Times have not changed. Well, down in verse 12, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that they should have stayed unto me? Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father heareth a suckling child unto the Lord, which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. It hadn't changed. People still got their hand out. People join this church, put their head down. That's the only reason they join. They'll say whatever you want them to say. But they lie through their teeth sometimes. He said in verse 14, I'm not able to bear all this, people alone, because it's too heavy for me. He's complaining to God now. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Can you imagine a guy like Moses wanting God to kill him? I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my righteousness. Well, ask this question. Where would the nation Israel be if it hadn't have been for the leader Moses? He's the one that got them out. He's the one that took them out to the promised land. You know, and this is very true. So many times, those that do the most work in the church are the ones that's least appreciated. I know you clean and you vacuum and you paint and you mow and you do. You say, nobody, the devil will tell you, nobody appreciates what you're doing. He's wanting to stop everything. I visit every day. I'm trying, and every day this week I've done it every but one, 4 out of 5 days, 10 or 11 or 12 people. One day I only hit 8. And I was sorry I hit 8. I wanted to do 9 and 10 and 11. You know why? Because that's what we need to do. Now, when they're not home, that's a break. I just say, well, I'm sorry I missed you. Your child accepted Jesus at Journey. If you don't have a church that you regularly attend, please come back and talk to us about it. It's a break. I move on to somebody else. I was just talking to some people a while ago, and they said, well, we get discouraged because nobody's at home. You're just supposed to go. That's all. He just said, go. Let God do the rest of it. They're not there. They're not there. But if they are there, do you have a church home? No, we don't. Then listen. If you died today, where would you go? Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? That really ruffles their feathers, I can tell you that. Open your eyes, the song said, your ears, and your mouth. That's a wonderful song. Praise God for that. What if God had killed Moses as he requested up in verse 15? He'd have missed some things. What would he have missed? Well, he'd have missed the wonders in the wilderness, all the miracles that God performed in the wilderness. He'd have missed the great farewell at Jordan. He'd have missed commissioning Joshua. He'd have missed seeing the promised land. Now, I've been up on Mount Nebo and looked over the promised land. And I even went down the hill and went in there where it was. Moses didn't get to do that. There's a lot of blessings for just going. G-O. I like what the preacher said the other day. He's probably watching. He said, life. L-I-F-E. Right in the middle of life is if. I love that. If you do for God, God will do for you. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Because you're here. But where was all that terrific crowd Sunday morning? They want God's blessing too. But they don't come enough to get it. Oh, He gives them blessings along. But I'm talking about the real blessings of God where you just know you're walking with God and you're hearing what God has to say and you're doing what God says to do and you're getting the blessings of God. That's how you get it. Moreover, the choir stewards that a man be found faithful. You're here. I'm not preaching to you. But maybe somebody on the screen up there is not faithful. But that's called growing in the Lord. You know? We was in that Chick-fil-A, and there's a little baby over here. Wah, 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 wah. It's a baby. What's he going to do? He's going to make noise and cry because he didn't get his way. And that's the way baby Christians are. I've had them in my church. I see them in this church. And they come once in a while, but then they want to tell you how to run the church. That didn't work in my church. But anyway, what about King David? We're talking about that in Psalm 42. King David, he was discouraged. Moses was discouraged. Now, wait a minute. If these great men of God got discouraged, what are we? We're just people. We're not kings. We're the king's kids. But we're nobodies. We're just people God called to do something. We get discouraged too. And I know you do too. Well, let's think about Elijah. Oh boy, you know Elijah. Elijah was discouraged because he felt he was a failure. You know, he's the one that killed the 450 prophets of Baal. 450. He's the one that brought fire down from heaven, licked up the water and all around, and then he killed all the prophets of Baal. My. You would think that the people at that time would run to Elijah for a great revival. Wrong. They did not. When Queen Jezebel heard about it, she said, "What you did to them, I'm going to do to you." And what did he do? He just ran away. Ran away. Ran for his life, and he asked God to kill him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been discouraged in the ministry, but I never said, "God, kill me." I felt like killing somebody. Can you say amen to that? You say, "That's me." Just because you think it, don't mean you're going to do it. You know, we're real people. We got real feelings. And we got the old nature. And I'm going to tell you something. For me to keep the old nature in a box, the Lord has to do that. I can't. But I can tell you this. I pray that prayer all the time. God, don't let anything offend me. Don't let him offend me. I went to a man's house one time. His wife had died. I knocked on the door. He was in here too. He came to the door and I had a book on heaven. And I was going to give it to him. He opened the door and cussed like a sailor. He didn't need no blankety blank church. And he's a member of this church, was. I said, "I brought you a book on heaven." "I don't need no book. Get off my porch." I went and got in my car and left. And I prayed, "Lord, help me not to have a spirit like that. Help me to be able to go out of here to the next person I see and smile and pray for him and encourage him and don't be like him." So y'all don't know all the visits we make and who we run into. I tell another story, but he might be watching. This guy was so mad when I pulled up in his driveway. He ran, "What are you doing in my driveway?" I said, "I come to see you." "What for?" I said, "You filled out a card." "If I'd have known I was going to fill out a card and you was coming, I wouldn't have filled out the card." I said, "Well, my job is to come see you. Get off my property." I said, "Yes, sir." I got in my car and prayed that same prayer. He's never been back to church, and I didn't do nothing to him or say nothing to him. Just a mad guy. Dangerous guy. I've been in bars that was before I got saved. I've been in bars that were tamer than he was. Elijah said, "Kill me, God." You know what? Think about this. If he really wanted to die, all he had to do was wait on Jezebel. She's going to kill him anyway. Why are you running? Stop running. Jezebel's behind you with a knife. But he would have missed some things too. He'd have missed fellowship with Elisha. He'd have missed that. He'd have missed the joy of training a new prophet. You know, it's a joy to take new preachers, new Bible students out and visit. I took one out Tuesday night. We had a good time, good food, fun fellowship. We had a good time. And that was a joy. He'd have missed a whirlwind to heaven. He'd have missed that. See, David prayed, and God heard his prayer. Moses prayed, God met his need. Elijah prayed, God met his need. And if you'll pray, God will meet your need. But now, let me tell you something. All of these men were sold out to God. Are you sold out to God? Are you just, well, I'm saved and I'm doing a little bit. I don't know. No, it's all the way or nothing. And maybe you're a new Christian and you hadn't got that far yet. But some of you folks have been around a long time. You ought to be on strong meat, as the Bible say, and not on the milk of the Word. See, that's how you get the stamina to go forward for God, even in adversity. Because you're weak. You know, if you go to the hospital, nursing home, see people laying in the bed, they can't get up and do anything. They have to have somebody help them. And there's plenty of people in churches that can't do anything. They have to have somebody to help them. I don't want to be that kind. I tell people all the time on the elevator in the hospital, I said, you know, I would rather be here seeing somebody than them be here to see me. Are you a Christian? Who are you here to see? And I always pray for whoever they say. I'm here to see my husband. What's his name? They say Joe. Father, you help Joe. Help them to have power and wisdom to know what to do for Joe and raise him up in Jesus' name. Just on the elevator, one floor up. That'll make you strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Open that mouth. Open them eyes and look around. Open your ears that you may hear Him. Now see, I had a verse that I was going to give you, but I don't have it now. I don't think I do. If I could find it real quick, but I can't find it. You know, I can't find anything. I got too much stuff stuck in this Bible. But think about this. Paul, of all people, the greatest missionary we ever heard, was discouraged. If Paul and Elisha and King David, Moses could get discouraged, then we're nothing to stand up against the wiles of the devil. That's why he said put on the whole armor of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul is saying this. Discouraged. But he's looking to the future. See, that's what you got to do. You got to look to your future. Discouraged today, tomorrow's going to be a good day. He said in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, so much that we despaired even life." I don't sound like a happy-go-lucky guy. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. I like that. Which raises the dead. Now here's verse 10. Past, present, and future. In verse 10. Watch what it says. Who delivered us, that's the past, so great a death, and doth deliver us, that's the present, in whom we trust, and He will yet deliver us, that's the future. That one verse, past, present, future. He got delivered. You ought to circle that verse, write it down. Past, present, future. You know, God may not change the circumstances, but He will give you strength to endure on in the circumstances. Circumstances will change sooner or later. They'll change. Someone says, what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. What kind of life do you have? What kind of life do you live? What kind of habits do you have? What kind of prayer life do you have? What kind of Bible reading do you have? What kind of church attendance? You're here tonight. But I'm just saying, life depends on what is in you. And what's in you? God, the Bible, the Word. And that Word is what does the work. If filled with defeat and despair, life will crush you. Oh, poor is me. Oh, poor is me. Oh. Everybody's against me. Oh, poor is me. If filled with faith and God's power, instead of being a victim, you'll be a victor. We got to depend on Him for everything. All of our food, all of our clothes. I know a lot of times right now, people say, I'm not getting a paycheck. They're going to pay every one of them people. They're going to get a ton of money and throw it away when they get it. I'm talking about the people that's on the payroll for Washington. They're going to get a lump sum one day. It may be tomorrow, the next day, whenever they decide to break it loose, but they're going to get a ton of money. I had a guy I worked with way back when I got out of the Army in a textile mill. And he worked there right beside me. And there was a settlement for the Indians in our county, Catawba Indians. And he was married to an Indian lady. And so, old Cephas, they got $10,000. What did he do? He quit his job right away. Took the $10,000 and every honky-tonk within 50 miles, they was in it. Dancing, drinking, eating good, living right, got a new car. I mean, they did everything they could do. 6 months' time, I looked around. I said, Cephas, what are you doing back in here? Oh, we had a good time. Easy come, easy go. Back to work. That's the way people live, you know that? They live for the day. That's why those people, they don't have anything to go a week without a paycheck or a month without a paycheck. Because they're living in the fast lane, trying to keep up with the world. You know, I used to do that. My poor wife worked. I worked. As soon as we got the money, I was buying something else and buying this and buying that. Had about 18 motorcycles and 4 Corvettes and go here, go there. Didn't worry about a thing. I bought a motorcycle one time. We had $50. We've been married 62 years this year in June. We had $500 in the bank. I went and bought a BSA motorcycle for $450. And she's going, you did what? And you know what I said? Well, you got $50. What are you worried about? That's the world. I was in the world. I was tied up with the things of the world. But thank God, when I got saved, I got smart. But I wasn't too smart back then. You know, Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Huh? Nobody. Nobody. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. So, it's you and God, that's the majority. Me and God, we're a majority. That's why we have what we have today. Because we work for God. I told the people at the Space Center, I worked at Kennedy Space Center for almost 10 years, and I told them, "I'm going to work for God." They're laughing at me. "Well, what? I'm going to work for God." I said, "There's no layoffs in God's army. They've been gone 40, 50 years. That was back in the 70s. And guess what? I'm still working for God. And all they're doing is trying to find out where they can get something to eat. Still in the world. Well, thank God, got me out of the world. Here's four quick things. We'll be done here. Four things we should do when we get discouraged. Number one, don't do anything in haste. Don't be in a hurry to do anything. Never make important decisions when you're going through despair. We've got to make a decision. No, we don't. We're going to pray till God settles this thing, gives us peace. See, there's a big key right there. If you're getting ready to do something for God, or do something for your family, and you don't have the peace, don't do it. He don't give you the peace. He don't open the door. He don't give you the green light. You know, when I left my church, I needed the peace of God to get out of there. I didn't get it for 2 years, but when I got it, it was, adios amigo. Number two, turn to God, open your heart, tell Him exactly how you feel and what you need, and pour out your complaint to God. You're His child. Thirdly, wait on the Lord. He has a purpose. He has a time. To run ahead means to miss some of the blessings He has for you. I had a secretary one time. She said, she's dead now. She said, "Listen, if God don't open the door, don't go through the window." She was a missionary for many years down in the Bahamas. Her husband died. And everybody told her, "Don't marry this guy. Don't marry this guy. Don't marry this guy." She went and married him anyway. She paid a big price for that. Rest on His promise. Spend time in His Word. Remember, when the night is darkest, we'll see the stars clearest. Rest assured that Romans 8:28 is still in the book. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And listen, the next verse says, we're conformed to the image of His Son. We're supposed to be like Jesus. How are we going to be like Jesus when we complain it? One day we may have the answers. Until then, Psalm 37:5, and we're done. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So let's pray and ask God to help you tonight. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray for our people. I pray, God, that You'll finish the message in the hearts. If there's one here that's not saved, I pray the day would be the day of salvation. But I pray, God, that if there's discouragement here, I pray they'll just turn it over to You. Just like Moses. Just like Elijah. Just like David. God, help us. Forgive us where we fall short.